Now, there's some ways to push terror away from our heart, and we're going to talk about them, some godly qualities that will push terror out of our heart. The first one is strong faith. Strong faith, that's the foundation of real courage. If you have little faith, you have faintness of heart. So you have to have faith. It's vital to build rock-solid faith and then to maintain it. And if you have this kind of faith, and I keep this kind of faith, you can face any challenge. If God's allowing it, that means you can take it. That's all you have to remember. This is very difficult, but Jehovah, you're allowing it. I must be able to take it. Because you have that strong faith in Him and His promises. So, whatever you're facing, whether it's a material challenge, emotional challenges, make decisions in harmony with God's Word and His principles. See, fortify your faith through personal study and, as we talked about, using your imagination, and meditate. Keep strong faith. If you keep that solid, strong faith and keep it as a large shield that you can stand behind, the devil loses. Something for you to remember, a sentence to take away with you. The stronger our faith, the greater our courage. The stronger our faith, the greater our courage. Now, to help us with this faith with great pleasure, we announce the release of another provision designed to build faith and courage, a video, Walk by Faith, Not by Sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. It depicts events that took place in Jerusalem between 66 and 70 of the Common Era. Very gripping. Okay. And we even edited it some to try to help you a little bit with it, but you're seeing reality of what happened in those years. So it's patterned after the costume drama that was presented at the district conventions in 2010, and each family that's in attendance may obtain a copy at the conclusion of the convention today. Now, as you observe the way early Christians obediently fled from Jerusalem, you're going to be motivated to imitate their faith and courage, and you're also going to observe certain ones that shrunk back. It's going to help you to not shrink back into disobedience. And hopefully you'll be resolved not to imitate their cowardly course. And recommend you see it soon, maybe at your family worship this week. And if you're single, see it soon, or at that time when you have your personal study. So that quality of faith, absolutely essential, is very sobering, but we need that at this late time in the last days. The next quality centers around Psalm 27, so please turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. And you see the next quality we'll talk about is mentioned here in verse 14, Psalm 27:14. Hope in Jehovah. Be courageous and let your heart be strong. Yes, hope in Jehovah. So you see that courage is connected with our hope. So Jehovah wants us to strengthen our courage by having that hope nice and clear where we can see beyond the hardships. And hope is ready to do that for us. If you never lose hope, you will never lose courage. It's that simple. If you never lose hope, you'll never lose courage. You appreciate that this is all temporary, because frankly, the worst day of your life only lasts 24 hours. I'm not minimizing it was tough or is tough, but the worst one ends after 24 hours. So if the trial doesn't end then, it will eventually end in the new world. Even if it's a life-threatening one, if you still have your Bible open, if not, go back there. Just want you to carry this thought away when you connect this matter of hope and how that helps you to never let your heart become terrified. We're looking at verse 10. It doesn't have a thing to do with what we just talked about with hope. We're just looking at the punctuation here. Okay, that's all with verse 10. If you look at verse 10 in the same chapter of Psalm 27, at the end of the verse, after "take me up," you see the period. That's punctuation. Period. And then, if you go back up to the first phrase in verse 10, after it reads, "Mother did leave me," comma. Okay? So, for us, the death of an integrity keeper is not like the period at the end of that sentence. It's a comma. It's just a pause because of the resurrection hope. Isn't that a nice thought? So you have loved ones that have died. You might be facing death because of some serious illness. It's just a comma for us. For others that don't have the hope, all they see is a period at the end of their life. That's not true for God's people. And you just keep meditating on your hope. We've mentioned that in the magazine. It's like keeping a picture window nice and clean. Keep your hope bright. And I want to share with you this sister that appreciated the need for the hope being bright, protecting her mental powers. She kept her hope alive. I think it's very touching. She's in Korea, did all the things right, pioneering, and her husband pioneering along with her. 20 years, faced a lot of things, but all of a sudden, she's diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Just out of the blue. So they give her only a few months to live, and she and her husband decide to move to an area where the air was better for her condition. So they moved to this village, and there she admits, you know, she'd gone through a lot as a pioneer, but this hit her. She says, "I felt like I'd lost everything, and I was very scared." See, her heart was terrified, frankly. Well, what helped her? Well, meeting attendance was available through through the conference, the phone conference. Another thing she did was very practical, keep her hope bright. "The fruitage of joys helped me to overcome all of these trials. When I feel down," she repeatedly sings song number 75, "Our Reasons for Joy." Just keeps singing it. Good advice, then she feels better. And this one was quite priceless. She says, "What gives me the most strength is my 30 minutes on the rooftop." So what's that mean, 30 minutes on the rooftop? Every night that she'd moved to this area, every night before going to bed, "I go to the rooftop of my home and pray out loud about things that I'm grateful for from that day. Then I feel as if Jehovah's patting me on the back. Then I say, I love you, Father." Well, she, at this writing, says that a few days ago she was busy. She was able to do some cleaning of her house there, and it got late. She's tired. She's not healthy. "I told my husband that I would skip going to the roof that day because it's too late and I was tired." See? You know what her husband said? "Jehovah may be waiting for you there." Yeah, isn't that priceless? So she says, "I had no choice but to put my coat on and went to the roof." See, keeping her hope bright in the face of death. Not letting her heart be terrified. Now, the other quality is mentioned by Jesus here, the third one, in John chapter 14. It's godly peace. John chapter 14. And we'll read together verse 27. Jesus states, I leave you peace, I give you my peace, I do not give it to you the way that the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them shrink for fear. So peace. Jehovah gives us peace, and that really comes after throwing our anxieties upon Him and supplicating. Some say, well, you know, I do pray, but I still have anxiety. I'll tell you about a brother I knew down south of the United States. I knew he was going through so many things. I asked him, how are you getting through all this? And he just said, well, Brother Morris, when that anxiety grips me, I bow my head and I pray. He says, and if I lift up my head and I still have that anxiety, I put my head right back down. Good advice. So if you've prayed and you still have the anxiety, apparently you've got to pray some more. Because Jehovah promises the peace is coming. But He wants you to be persistent. Whatever, it's up to Him, but the peace does come for those that follow His direction and His advice. And the power of prayer has been proven time and again. Time and again. And the one that always touched me, I used to use this experience years ago, and many of you will remember it, shows you the power of prayer, the guarantee that Jehovah's peace will be with us. This was when they had the massacre there in Rwanda, and back in a couple decades ago, the brothers had to show great courage in the view of all that strife there. So on one occasion, a family of witnesses is put in a room. The soldiers are prepared to kill them. And now, mind you, a lot of others had already been killed. This is a death sentence. This is no joke. They're getting ready to be shot to death. Well, the family asked permission to pray first. And soldiers had a willingness to allow them to do that. And all of them bowed their head and started praying, but little Deborah prayed silently. I mean, everybody prayed silently, but Deborah, she prayed out loud. So the soldiers stand there with their guns ready, we're to get this over with so we can kill them. But Deborah's praying out loud, and here's what she says in her prayer. Jehovah, this week Pop and I placed 5 magazines. How are we going to get back to these people to teach them the truth and help them get life? Besides, how am I going to be a publisher now? I wanted to get baptized in order to serve you. So she's praying out loud to Jehovah, and even these hardcore soldiers are looking and listening. And the soldier says, we cannot kill you because of this little girl. Well, Deborah said, thank you. And the rest of the family is going, thanks for praying out loud, Deborah. And I got a picture of her here. You can't really see it. I'll put it up here. But this is, they were refugees in Kenya. And she's holding a bunch of roses there, standing with her dad, when shortly, not too long after this incident we just shared with you, she was baptized. See? And you wonder, well, how's she doing now? Well, maybe you hadn't noticed, but she made it in this year's yearbook. See, now she's an adult, and they have her back in Rwanda with her mom and her dad. I think it's about page 170, but it's in this year's yearbook. Deborah not only became a publisher, but she's doing great. See, prayer is powerful if we take advantage of it. Now, the fourth one is love. It's a powerful motivating force for courage. Jehovah's great love moved Him to offer His most precious possession, Christ Jesus Himself. And when we have this love, it throws all fear outside. Doesn't matter what kind of fear it is, it's thrown outside when we have love. So here's some things that we can throw outside, if you will, because of this powerful motivating force for courage, love. Fearlessly make drastic life changes in order to strip off the old personality and put on the new. Courageously walk out of a theater or turn off the computer or TV when indecent images appear. That takes courage. valiantly stand up to pressure, perhaps ridicule from schoolmates, workmates, neighbors, or relatives. Bravely contend with the debilitating effects of imperfection and old age. Yes, we wish to warmly and sincerely commend you, dear ones, who are proving your love for Jehovah by your many courageous acts. As you continue to safeguard your most valuable possession, which indeed is your relationship with Jehovah, Satan will never succeed in causing your heart or my heart to be terrified. When we're close to God, nothing terrifies us. Deep love for Jehovah was the primary motivating force behind the spiritual progress of those who were baptized yesterday, and once again we want to welcome the 71 of you who have now courageously taken your stand on Jehovah's side. And a special day for many of you. Yesterday I was able to talk to some of them, younger ones. How thrilled their parents were. What a special day for them. See them symbolize their dedication to Jehovah and take sides with Him. And also, I think you'd agree with us from the bottom of our heart, we want to thank the many volunteers who worked so hard on our behalf and those that shared in the program and really made the 49 parts that were on the program come to life. We thank you very much for your good work. Most of all, we thank Jehovah for providing this heart-to-heart convention. And likely you agree that our heart condition is healthier now than when we arrived Friday. Spiritually stronger, we know you agree to that. If we continue to safeguard our heart by applying what we've learned, we're going to reap many blessings. It'll guide us to make wise decisions, as we just discussed. But think about this. Not only are we living in the last days, we're living shortly before the last day of this system. Now you got to let that work on you. See, it's near. The last day of the last days. See, only the courageous will survive. So, contenders against Jehovah are going to be terrified. Now, we're not going to be panicking. They will. The things that He's going to do, oh my, it's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. Frightening things are going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Frightening to everyone except the courageous worshipers of Jehovah God. So, what's in store? Well, God gives us a lot of indications, but one account in Scripture helps us to appreciate why we're going to be safe. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Our situation, particularly at Armageddon, will be like this here in Jehoshaphat's day, chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. We will not be panicking. Let's read verse 15 and verse 17. Consequently, he said, pay attention, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Here is what Jehovah said to you. Do not you be terrified, afraid, or be terrified because of this large crowd. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And 17, you will not need to fight in this instance. Take your position, stand still, and see the salvation of Jehovah in your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or be terrified. Tomorrow, go out against them, and Jehovah will be with you. So how's he going to keep us safe at that time? Is he going to use an angel and assign it to every one of us? We don't know. You don't have to know all the details. Be there with a courageous heart, and Jehovah's going to preserve his people. That we know. He knows how to deliver those that are devoted to him from destruction. And really, the great tribulation is against Satan's system, not against us. This is against his system. And Armageddon is against the nations battling with the Almighty himself. So stay tuned. See, get a courageous heart ready for the days ahead. And sometimes, just a final thought here for you. During the public talk, we read John 17:3. This means everlasting life. They're taking a knowledge of it. I'm convinced sometimes with our young people and the adults too sometimes, everlasting life, eternity. I don't think some of them, especially when they get sidetracked and distracted from the faith, they must not understand what God's saying there. Because we serve Jehovah because we love him. He rewards us. It's he that holds out the reward. But we're talking about eternity. You know, like Brother Flodine mentioned in the public talk. What are they doing out there? The tsunami, they're out there picking up fish. As if this flood of the tsunami is not coming back. And that could relate to materialistic people running around picking up things. As if the great tribulation is not coming. Because in any tsunami, it's over. If you didn't get out way before then, like that tribe did, you're done. See? So eternity. Now, this helped me to get a little grasp of it, just to illustrate it for you. If we take a steel ball that is the size of the sun, now thousands upon thousands of planet Earths could go inside the circumference of a steel ball the size of the sun. So this steel ball that's the size of the sun, we're going to put a fly on the top of it. That fly is going to walk around that steel ball that's the size of the sun and walk around it until he wears it down to nothing. And that's just the beginning of eternity. It just started. Now, once you capture that, the devil's finished. Eternity with Jehovah himself, in some cases, and others living on a beautiful paradise earth. What fool turns their back on that? So in Jehovah's righteous new world, with hearts healed of inherited imperfection, God's people will be privileged to give our great Jehovah perfect worship, perfect praise for all eternity.